from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What up, everybody? We got breaking stadium news. It's a mouthful. Here we go. FedEx Field out. Northwest Federal Credit Union Field in. We're going to have to come up with some sort of nickname for this. Landfill, the Northwest Federal Credit Union Field, home of the Washington Commanders. I'm going to run out of air you saying what, man, all that. Good morning, Brian.
This is typical Washington fans. Every time something comes up, you got to be a complaint immediately.
I'm not complaining.
It's Northwest Field.
I like Northwest Field.
They are NW. When you look at Northwest Federal Credit, the NW stands out.
So they're just calling it Northwest Stadium, it looks like.
There we go.
All right.
You look at what's produced all the time, the NW is what was very prominent whenever you discuss them.
Here's where I'm at. I've made this my bed to lay in since the removal of Dan Snyder and since the new guys are there. Cool. Sell the rights. We'll call it the
If you
want to
call
NW
it something
Stadium.
Else, then that other team, that other person have stepped up. But Northwest Federal Credit Union stepped up with the chatter.
I don't care. They like, you know what they did? They did what functional professional sports teams do.
Yes.
They had a naming rights change. You know where that happens? The Pittsburgh Steelers. Like, that just happens. Good teams change the naming rights.
Yeah.
And it's great. Now, you know, we'll get used to it. It'll take a little getting used to. Northwest Stadium sounds cool with me. But more than all, this is just what functional sports franchises do.
Yeah. They did that. And it was an 8-year deal. And I think people saw you. The question is, 8 years, let's just bring something up, people. You won't be getting a new stadium till 2030 any damn way.
And that's best case, probably.
Yeah, so the whole thing about it is, let's not make things out to be like it's so out there. That if you were to get a brand new stadium, it's going to take about 3, 4, 5 years to build it. And none of that stuff has even started yet. And they have a lease that ends in what? 20 what?
27. But Josh Harris, Sunday afternoon at...
Yeah, he said about...
He said 2030 seems realistic.
Seems real, and I
if
think,
I had to guess,
that's it.
The big carrot to all this for Northwest Stadium is they probably maybe get right of first refusal at the new joint to carry over and get naming rights there. But to me, the timeline kind of adds up.
Yeah, it does.
I think they're probably paying a lot of money. They've already been a sponsor. Don't they sponsor your pre and post game? So they clearly like the product they're getting.
They definitely do. But like I walked in.
This is just good, normal business news.
So I showed up to the game the other night, right around 8:15. I walk in, I get my little pad, my credential. I'm walking through, and I'm like, damn, it looks better. They have changed a lot of stuff inside that stadium. And I think the ultimate thing is they're trying to change. They had a whole, like, a food tour where they had different foods and things in there. They are trying to make sure that the fan is going to be able to go there and enjoy themselves, unlike how it was prior.
I thought
we don't care
a lot of that stuff looked good.
Yeah, we
I
don't
think
care
just
if you like it or
those,
not. We're not adding nothing.
Those
but now
open
they are.
Concourses where you can walk through and grab a beer, a soda, and some peanuts, whatever you want to grab. And I think they just scan your phone on the way out. You know how much that should speed things up for folks that just want to grab something rather than having to wait in line?
When you walk to the... From the field to the press box, you notice all the different stuff on the walls. It just looks more like livable. It seems like it's something real. It was like a damn dungeon before.
Yeah. Well, and dude, you couldn't help but notice that all the signage, all the old FedEx signage was down.
It should be incredibly
noticeable.
They're not paying any more money. They can't get no free press.
Well, and that, like, I think, you know, the color scheme, I know a previous person that came here to work on the business side and then left fairly quickly because it was, I'm talking like 7, 8 years ago because it was clearly pretty broken. And they described the color scheme at FedEx Field as the inside of a very cheap Mexican chain restaurant. Mm-hmm. You remember how many different colors there were? Yeah. Like, it didn't make any sense. Like, yeah. Why is there turquoise prominently involved at a stadium that houses the burgundy and gold? You know what I mean? And I think they're getting away with all that stuff. If you're a Commanders fan today, you know the good news? They're just doing what normal sports franchises do.
Yeah.
The Pittsburgh Steelers, I think you could argue, seriously, they've had three coaches in 100 years.
Yeah.
A ton of Super Bowl wins. Sorry, I'm all steamed up about this stadium deal. They have Mike Tomlin's never had a losing record.
Mm-hmm.
The Steelers are like the perfect example of organizational stability and a well-run team.
Totally.
And you know what happened to Pittsburgh? Do you know where they play now?
Where?
Nobody knows or cares because it was Heinz Field forever, and now it is Acrisure Stadium.
But see, this is the thing about it. We say this, and I know people like to downplay it. When you say winning cures all,
yeah.
People like, oh, no, it doesn't. Yes, it does, because when the Steelers change their name, the fans can give a damn about that. Why? Because the product on the field has been good. And the thing about right now is you got people coming in doing what real owners do. But as soon as something happens, we go back to what the bad owner did. Instead of giving credit for it and move forward. Hey, the name, who really cares? The name don't get you no victories. So the team getting better is going to get you victories. But this is a normal thing, and it shouldn't be coming to the, oh, man, why did they go with that person? And, you know, some people going to say that. And I think they'll think just like me. Give them one finger salute, keep moving.
Jeff, do you know where the Chiefs play?
Candlestick. No, that's what's called.
That's
old San Francisco.
25 years ago.
Arrowhead.
As a matter of fact, it's Geehaw Field at Arrowhead Stadium.
And guess what? It's still Arrowhead.
Right. Like, if you're good, the business operations do not matter. So sell the naming rights. I don't know a ton about Northwest Federal Credit Union. I'm sure they're great people. I don't care. It's the best part. Sell it, and now everybody can call it Northwest Stadium, and this is what functional organizations do.
Yeah.
I care.
And what have we complained about for the last 20-plus years?
The lack of a functional organization.
And now we got it. Let's praise it. Let's applaud it.
I've been tipped off to a possibly very good name for the stadium. Very good nickname.
What's that?
The Fed. I'm into that.
Hey, man, whatever they call it, that's money going into their pockets. I care about the Commanders winning. That's what I care about. Well, and I think that'll solve a lot of things. Get people's mind on the right stuff instead of the wrong stuff.
I think that's fair. Listen, this is what functional organizations do. I don't know anything about this bank, and I hope they're great people.
I can tell you this. If they're buying a naming rights of a stadium, it's a damn successful bank.
Sure.
So I can tell you that.
Here's a question that I don't know that any of the four of us know the answer here. What is the difference between a credit union and a bank?
Don't know. They both
Jeff,
have money.
Explain that to us.
They both have a lot of money.
Jeff, go ahead and give us a brief explanation on the difference between a credit union and a bank.
I'm going to Google it.
Yeah, that's what I was about to do. I was about to say, hold on,
I just wanted you to shoot from the hip, Jeff. I wanted you to let the world know.
Nope. I'm not
Landini,
doing that.
You got one?
Not really.
Okay. All right. Well, we've clearly...
It is like with the word union, is the credit union ran more by the people that are members?
I think the credit union
a private entity.
Is owned by the people that like have accounts there.
And maybe they're not filing... They're not publicly traded and trying to, you know, because banks are determined by their quarterly profits or whatever.
Right.
Maybe we'll get an expert because I don't know that the four of us are.
We're not.
Here's what we can tell you. The Commanders officially just tweeted this out.
There you go.
New stadium naming rights deal. I'll read from the press release. The Washington Commanders and Northwest Federal Credit Union today announced a new multi-year exclusive naming rights agreement for the football team stadium, bringing together two institutions with a storied history in the region and community. The agreement, which marks a new chapter for the Washington Commanders, will rebrand the team's home from Commanders Field to Northwest Stadium On September 15th, the two organizations will officially kick off the extension and expansion of their existing partnership through a joint press conference at the stadium before the Commanders' home opener. I quote from Josh Harris, and then I'm going to stop reading this because it's kind of boring. Northwest Federal Credit Union has been an integral part of this community for generations, and we could not be prouder to partner with an organization as committed to the DMV as we are. As we continue to work toward our goal of building the Commanders into an elite franchise that consistently competes for championships, we are excited to welcome our team and fans to Northwest Stadium and look forward to creating incredible memories together on the field and in the communities we serve. Huzzah! Make it work, fellas.
Welcome.
Congratulations.
Northwest. All right, credit unions and banks are different than this. Credit unions are not for profit. Banks are.
There you have it. These guys aren't even for profit.
There you go. And, like, the banks, like, Lanford, you say the banks are ran by, you know, the shareholders, credit unions, bam, by the members.
Well, I don't want to go too far down this road, but if you're not in it for profit, why do you need publicity and naming rights? But today is a day of celebration. So congratulations to all parties involved. They are
JP,
the official
the NFL
union.
Was not for profit until a couple years ago.
They seem to be doing okay.
Were they not profiting? Let's be real, man.
They seem to be doing okay.
It is nothing different than anything that's been going on.
Yeah, I think it's great. I think it's great that, like, the operation, FedEx said, yo, we're out. All right, good luck. I appreciate you doing business. I understand that everything went sideways with the last guy. We're not the last guy, but we understand you're out, and we're that's yeah. That we understand. You have an option in your lease to be out. This is normal business.
And they gave him a deuces.
They don't even have to. They could have given him a very hearty pat on the back and a handshake.
Because they ultimately knew that somebody else is going to take over.
And then we're like, we're going to sell this to somebody else, and we're good. I think it's business operations running like they should for a professional organization, and I think it's great news.
I think you have to be forward-thinking, and I think that's what Northwest Federal Credit Union was. They were forward-thinking. Last year when they came in, I met the CEO and all, talking to him, and you can see what those people weren't worried about what happened. You know, I was riding my son when I was in California, and he was talking. We were talking about some stuff, and he go, I said, man, look at that. What you looking at right here? He said, rearview mirror. I said, what's in front of it? He said, windshield. I said, which one is the biggest? That's what you care about. Care about the future. To hell with what happened. Let's worry about what's going to happen. And they were thinking about that. And I think FedEx was thinking about what had happened. So they lost. Somebody else's game.
I think maybe FedEx wants to get something in closer to them, too. Who knows, dude? Honestly, I don't care. The most refreshing part with all business news coming. You know the one thing I find the most interesting in this press release? And this is like the nerdy side of me. It's a joint dateline with two locations on it. One is no surprise. One is Landover, Maryland. That's the home of Northwest Stadium. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to get used to saying that. Do you know the other location listed on this press release? And it's not the home of Northwest Stadium or the actual credit union because I don't know where they're based.
Is it Ashburn?
No.
Maryland. By University of Maryland.
Nope.
I don't know.
It may be Landfill's address. I can't remember Landfill's. Are you Ashburn, Landini? I can't remember if he's Sterling or somewhere else. Over Maryland and Herndon, Virginia. They're definitively in Ashburn.
Yeah, but there may be something in Herndon.
I just find that kind of interesting.
Can Josh have something that's a partnership or something that's in Herndon?
I have no idea, B.
P.O. box?
I don't think the organization operates with a P.O. box, Jeff, but I'm not ruling it out, bud.
I wouldn't be surprised. I guarantee they got a P.O. box somewhere
maybe
inside
Northwest,
that damn organization.
Maybe that's where Northwest Federal Credit Union
could be.
Is based. Although it's pretty hard to get a base for, like, just an address for these folks. Now, the bank, they may be operating with a P.O. box, Jeff. But anyway, if you just got in your car and you missed the news, I think they're located in Herndon, and that's why you got Herndon on here. If you missed the news, the artist formerly known as FedEx Field, she gone. FedEx pulled out in the spring, I want to say, and the Commanders for a very brief period of time operated the stadium as Commanders Field, and news just emerged this morning. The stadium will now be called Northwest Stadium, sponsored by Northwest Federal Credit Union. this is cool, man. I think it looks like it's just going to be called Northwest Stadium. We can get used to that. Good news, on a day where there's going to be a lot of actual football news, this is a good little appetizer, good little kickoff to cut day. Obviously, we're going to be looking at the cuts all day. We do have Mike Jones joining us from The Athletic in just a minute. There's something kind of remarkable happening specific to roster rules and quarterbacks that Mike has been all over that I want to let him talk about in depth. Barstool Nate's going to join us at 11. We'll have Nicky Jabala at 1. And I think by 1 o'clock, things are really going to be heating up with these cuts. And we'll kind of, we should know a lot. The crazy part about cut day is people get so amped up. And I want to start here and we'll go around the room. For years and years and years, Commanders fans get amped up about what's going to happen on cut day. And because of the excitement of Northwest Stadium, I didn't formally say good morning to Lamphill and Jeff. Good morning, gentlemen. We get so amped up. Washington today will release 37 players, right? To get from 90 to 53. Is the math right on that? Approximately a little more than a third of their roster, of their existing roster. Now, they're going to try to sign a bunch of those guys back, practice squad, right? And they're going
to look up to 17.
I mean, these rosters are huge.
70 damn people on the team.
Dan Quinn said, he's like, dude, we don't think of it as a 53 anymore. We think of it as 70 because you have so much flexibility to bring guys up and down. But above all else, they're going to cut a bunch of guys. Over under 1.5 players that are released by Washington, claimed by other teams in waivers. Not once waivers clears, once guys become free agents, but in waivers. This is something Commanders fans have always been so worried about. Oh, man, we're going to lose this guy. We're going to lose that guy. And the recent history, nobody actually gets signed.
I think it'll be over on the 1.5 because I think they brought more talent into camp than they usually do.
I don't know. Jeffrey, 1.5, over under, guys getting signed that they release. Because that's when you start to know you have quite a good roster. Mm-hmm. It hasn't been since, I think, 2020 they've had a guy
playing. If we look at some of these positions and some of these battles, you have to believe that somebody is going to get picked up somewhere else. Just like they may let them go and pick up somebody from some other team.
I certainly think they're going to be looking at other teams. And I got my eyes specifically on two guys that were released in Dallas. I'll tell you about that at 10:45. 1.5, Jeffrey.
I'm going to go over. This ownership has been kind of aggressive in their moves, and I know they want to fill those positions as soon as possible before any other team, you know, tries to get those players that they really want.
Hold on. I'm not even trying to do a bit here. I'm saying guys that Washington cuts that other teams will sign.
Oh, okay.
Jeff really missed the assignment on this one.
Under.
Okay. Yeah. Landini.
Yeah, I'm also going under. I don't think the roster's that good.
I think 2 years from now, if the drafts go the way Adam Peters wants them to, you'd like to be in a scenario where 3-4 guys are getting claimed that they have to release. I worry about the bottom of depth charts kind of across the roster. I do think one guy I'm fascinated with today, and I don't know that what happened Sunday night helps him, is Cole Turner. And I think if he gets released, I think that's a guy that could get claimed. I don't know at running back. The running back scenario across the league, there's so many decent to good backs that are just going to become available this afternoon. Mm-hmm. O-line is always going to be a major question. But there are guys like, we don't know what's going to happen with a player like Fedarian Mathis today, right? Mm-hmm. And
that's the thing about it. You have to look at these people, where they were being rated by, or not just this team, but teams around the league.
That's what I was going
to
say.
And you have two to three guys that are from this year all the way back 2 to 3 years that other teams still, when they rate them as second rounders and third rounders, they still see them like that. And they may be wanting to come and get these guys. So I still believe it would be better because I think Adam and Dan were more selective in who they brought into camp compared to what Ron did. Ron brought in people they liked. People that did not have any inkling of trying to question.
And anything. Ron insisted on kind of keeping his draft picks over time, right? And I think that has changed. I I think people waiting for this big move coming today. I think it happened last week with the Jahan Dotson trade. But we'll see. This is going to be a fun day. We've already had breaking news. FedEx Field, now known as Northwest Stadium. More breaking news coming. Promise. Mike Jones next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
All right, obviously there is breaking news. The Commanders. They've sold stadium naming rights to Northwest Federal Credit Union. That's cool. We'll get used to saying that as the football season progresses. But I'd argue the Wilder sports business deal that just got done, that Amazon has signed the Kelce brothers to a $100 million deal for their podcast. Holy moly. I'm sure it's a great podcast.
You saw that coming, though.
I would think Taylor Swift has something to do with that, but what do I know?
Their thing is damn good.
It totally is, and but it's amplified.
But Taylor's not sitting on the podcast with them.
No, but I think Travis has way more eyeballs on him now because of the Taylor Swift relationship.
But his brother is the brains behind the whole deal.
I agree with that. So. The brains behind our next conversation is going to be Mike Jones from The Athletic. Want to talk to Mike here. Jonesy, what's up, dude? How are you?
How you guys doing today?
You fired up to drive to Northwest Federal Credit Union Stadium?
Northwest Stadium. JP, like, trying to be funny.
Yeah, I mean, it just seems weird, right? I mean, it's Northwest Stadium, but it's not in Northwest. It's in Maryland. I mean, I don't know.
I hear you, but Heinz Field is now called Acrisure. Arrowhead Stadium's technically Geehaw.
It's about whoever has funds, Mike. Whoever has the funds.
Up with the money, man. Well, get a B. Mitch Stadium, man. Come on, B. Mitch.
Hey, no. Mm-mm.
Well, and Jonesy, I wonder
if B. Mitch just won an island.
You might agree with this. After being out there for so long, you covered this team through so much. I just like that they're just normal people making normal business deals at this point. Like, this is just business as usual for a professional sports production.
Right. No, and that's the thing. I mean, for so long, we've had, you know, to watch, and fans have had to endure somebody who didn't really care about running this like a business. They knew that people were going to buy tickets, and it was basically like they were just like, well, we can be lazy with this, we can be cheap. But you can tell that the new ownership is really invested in making this a desirable location. They're hoping to make it a venue that is featuring successful and entertaining football. And, you know, yes, Josh Harris grew up rooting for this team, but he's also a businessman and he likes to make money. And so he's doing all the things that you have to do if you want to be a successful franchise owner.
They bought this team at $6.05 billion. It appraised at $6.3 billion a few months later. And I think they understand if you want to get out of it what you expect, you got to put something into it.
Yep, exactly right. Yeah. And that's what we're seeing, you know, with the upgrades to the stadium. And, you know, it was almost, you would have thought the way that Snyder let that stadium be, you would have thought that they were, you know, getting ready to roll into a new stadium next year or the year after. But they're going to be stuck within the stadium for a little while now. And so Josh Harris is like, all right, let's fix stuff up. Let's make it nice. Mm-hmm. Take care of our house, our home, while it's still our home, rather than just letting it continue to fall apart.
You can cue Luther Vandross right now. A house is not a home. I put some love into that thing, man. That's what they're doing.
All right, Mike, I wanted to talk to you. So obviously we're going to have cut day today, and it's across the NFL. Everybody's got to get from 90 all the way down to 53. You had an interesting article, though, about kind of some of the changes that I believe it was the union pushed back on. Specific to quarterbacks, right? Can you get us up to speed on a fairly important change that might not be top of mind for folks?
Yeah, and this was something that was they discussed back in the spring between the owners and the players union, and then the NFL sent out a memo like just before it started training camp to remind teams. But there was a proposal to have the third quarterback, the emergency quarterback, basically a 54th player, have him on your practice squad or whatever, rather than a part of your roster spot. So you could use a roster spot for somebody else rather than a third string guy that most likely was not going to play or dress. But the players union pushed back on that, saying no, because, you know, what's to keep you from taking and stashing a guy there and basically keeping him there all year long without the potential to move up, basically also just to, you know, save some money and also keep him from other teams. They didn't like that. So they pushed back on that. That was not something they agreed to. And so now your third quarterback has to be, you know, on your roster, or you have to just decide to carry two quarterbacks and then hope that somebody doesn't pluck whatever quarterback you have on your practice squad away from you.
Well, you look at the difference. If they're on practice squad, they make $212,000. They're on, if they're on the roster, they make $700,000+. And
right.
you can't tell me that these owners and the NFL wasn't thinking about trying to keep that down around the league.
Yep, exactly. And players know that. And the players.
And I think that the league is there to protect the players. And this is what they're doing. I mean, the union is there to protect the players, and that's what they're doing.
Yep, exactly. And that's what, you know, because I sent texts and checked in with a number of guys who are in leadership with the union, and they felt like this was something that was basically keeping a ceiling on some players and their earning opportunities, and that is not at all what they want. And so good for them for standing up for their players. Look, if you want to have three quarterbacks on your team, pay the man like he's a quarterback on your roster and stop trying to be cheap and skate by.
But, you know, I look at this thing, okay, so 1990 – they had a game plan. If we ever have to go down to the third quarterback, B. Mitch, you're going to be our quarterback. We practiced and did everything. Here it is now, 30-plus years later, and you still can't have – look, it's a lot of former quarterbacks on football teams. And they say, well, the product go way down. Well, hell, if you lose both of your quarterbacks in the game, the product going to be down if you got your third quarterback in there. And you got people 30-something years later that still don't have somebody on their roster that could go out there and run an offense.
And you could call somebody up Saturday night now. Like, that rule change has made it – that rule change, to me, makes this request particularly egregious.
Well, I think – and that's what the – I think the players union was like, look, dude, you already have him on your practice squad, you know, and all week long he's a practice squad guy, then you bring him up, and then he, you know, he does have to get a game check. But they're like, you already have a way to work around this. Why do you have to have another exception to suit your purposes there? And again, they felt like it was a way to just keep somebody or stash somebody rather than give somebody an opportunity to actually be a part of the 53-man roster and be compensated like he deserved. So there really was no reason for this.
The rule today, they can be called up three times, then you have to sign them to an actual roster spot. The rule that they wanted, you could call them up as often as you wanted, which means that they were screwing them, basically.
Right. Yep.
Talking with our friend Mike Jones from The Athletic, national NFL writer for The Athletic. You can follow him on X and Instagram at by Mike Jones. Cut day today, Jonesy. Any real like surprises you're expecting? Not necessarily in Washington, but even league wide. I you know, we're already starting to see Allen Robinson getting released by the Giants. That's a guy that had a lot of success. Now it's been a few years, but it you know, it's going to continue rolling all day.
Yeah, there's going to be that. One I'm really curious is like down in Houston where they've got a lot of wide receivers, and Robert Woods is a guy that's been on their team, who was on the team last year. He's a veteran, and he's still got something left in the tank. I was told by a couple different talent evaluators on other teams that they would be kind of keeping an eye to see what happens there, whether it be the Texans calling around saying, hey, will you give us like, you know, a really late round pick for him? Or if he gets cut, there will be teams that would pick him up, you know. So there's going to be veterans that were at a position where they're maybe have, you know, a number of young guys or some cheaper guys or some draft picks that they like that really it was just going to be hard for them to get onto the field. And so those are the guys that, you know, some of these guys will be on the street by the end of the day and can catch on with a team and have an opportunity to help them.
Well, for selfish reasons, are any left tackles you think are worthwhile playing that we can is going to be released?
Sadly, people don't part with good left tackles. And so I don't think you're going to find one of those guys on the street.
I think that's correct. The good left tackles, the only team that has parted with a really good left tackle in the last, I don't know, 5-6 years is Burgundy of Gold. And that was
the team more?
That was a complicated scenario. But, yeah. Jonesy, before we let you go, dude, this is league wide, but it also happens to be here. What'd you think of that Jahan Dotson trade?
You know, I was a little surprised by it because I thought that he had some talent. And when I asked around, you know, people felt like, look, yes, a good player. They just didn't like his – they said there was no juice there. They didn't like his energy, the way that he approached the game. And so they were willing to trade him to a divisional rival. We'll see how he does catching on there in Philly. I think it's a good situation for him because, look, if you have two monsters, A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith on the outsides, and you can operate in the slot there and have Dallas Goedert as a really good tight end, there's going to be opportunities for you there. But maybe this is a wake-up call for him and an opportunity for him to learn, okay, look, I need to approach this more as a professional, bring more of a sense of urgency. And that is something that, you know, is definitely the people, the decision makers in Washington were looking for, and they weren't seeing it with him.
Well, I talked to about five different Eagle fans yesterday, and like they said, come here and play, you're okay. If you don't, we'll let you know. So
exactly.
The approach better change, I can tell you that.
Yep, for sure. And look, maybe it's good for him. He played, you know, college ball in Pennsylvania. He'll be back, you know, kind of similar stomping grounds. But again, look, if you don't capitalize on this right here, again, because those guys outside of him are going to command so much attention. He has Saquon Barkley coming out of the backfield, Jalen Hurts, who's a dual threat. The opportunity is there. You got to make good on this opportunity, and you can be a really, you know, successful player in this league if you do.
Mike Jones from The Athletic. Check him out at By Mike Jones. Jones, you think Jaden Daniels could deliver?
I think so. You know, we'll see how they do protecting him, but he does have the skill set. I think he's got the accuracy, the mindset, and the right approach. It's just all about how they support him.
I cannot wait to find out, man.
Yeah.
Real football is coming. Mike, thank you for the time, brother.
Thanks. I'll see you guys.
All right, Mike, take care.
Mike Jones.
2 week buildup, baby.
Mike Jones does a hell of a job for The Athletic. Covered this Washington for years. Washington Post, give him a follow at By Mike Jones. All time good guy. A collection of good guys is not just at The Athletic and The Washington Post, those covering the Commanders. It's with Orsman Automotive Group of Virginia. They've been serving area car buyers in the DMV for over 100 years. If you're doing something for over 100 years, you're doing something right. They've got convenient locations all across Northern Virginia, 7 spots from Alexandria to Chantilly with all the makes and models you're looking for. Kia, Ford, Lincoln, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, those Ram trucks that are super dope, Chevy, Buick, GMC. In addition to the unmatched selection, they also have incredible deals and the best financing rates you're going to find. That's on top of a tremendous selection of quality, certified used vehicles to choose from. Biggest thing, though, be the people and the lifetime edge.
Yep, the lifetime edge. Every car that's sold at Orsman is backed by the Orsman Lifetime Edge. That comes with up to $1,500 in extras, including complimentary car washes with every scheduled maintenance and loaner cars with every major maintenance. And they also give you the lifetime engine guarantee. When you go to sell a car, you don't want to go anywhere else but Orsman because they will pay you up to 125% of the Kelley Blue Book value. Where other people try to make you go below or right at 100, they pay you a lot more. It's very simple. They like to keep their customers happy, and they do it with me, JP, and everybody else that we've sent over there. So take it from us, two extremely satisfied Orsman customers, and let's ride together.
Hey, all right, cut to in the NFL. Everybody's got to get their rosters in by 4 o'clock this afternoon. I think over the next couple of days we'll get to hear from the powers that be, the Commander's brass making the roster decisions. I think it's pretty cool that we got to hear from Josh Harris Sunday night, but, like, we don't need to hear from Josh Harris about who the 6th tackle is. You know what I mean?
No.
As we're starting to hear about roster cuts around the league, the first one that kind of stands out to me, I think we're all aware of what the receiver room is or isn't. Allen Robinson has made a Pro Bowl. Allen Robinson played his college ball at Penn State. Now, Allen Robinson's 31. Right?
Yeah.
He just turned 31 last week. He hasn't had a particularly good season in some time. There's been some injuries. I thought he was going to be really good for the Rams when they acquired him. It didn't go that way. Last year playing for the Steelers, he played in all 17 games and only had 280 receiving yards.
Mm-hmm.
That quarterback situation was pretty bad, though. But still, I mean, that's a guy in 2020 went for 1,250 yards. 6 touchdowns. The year prior to that, he had 1,100 yards, 7 touchdowns. Robinson's the first guy that I'm like, huh. These guys don't have experience at the receiver position. They don't have a lot of size at the receiver position.
Yep.
I don't know that that's at all a target, but of the names that are starting to emerge today.
But nothing wrong with going out there and taking a look.
Right.
I think you started them. They took a look with Bryant, and then they gave him shots on Sunday, and I'm sure, I mean, Friday. After the game on Friday, people are saying, I mean, I'm going all the way. Sunday.
Night.
I'm all over the damn place. I'm sure people are going, oh, yeah, we need to see some more of that.
Two players that I'm watching. Dallas released yesterday, I believe. Eric Scott is a corner. They drafted in the sixth round last year, 23. You've got the defensive coordinator and the defensive passing game coordinator, the secondary coach from Dallas when this guy was drafted. He's now released. This team they're currently coaching, Dan Quinn and Joe Witt, I think you could argue there's a lack of clarity at the bottom of the cornerback room.
True.
That, to me, is a guy to watch. Eric Scott.
But you also have to understand, and I think a lot of people get upset at this sometimes, but coaches are going to – they know what they want, and they know if they're familiar with somebody, they're going to give that person a shot.
They might not either.
I'm just saying they may.
Right.
But, and you can't get upset at that because I know – I heard someone say, oh, well, people complain about Ron, and – I don't think Joe is bringing over-the-hill people.
There's another guy, Junior Fajoco, was a fourth-rounder last year out of San Jose State. These are guys that didn't play, and Fajoco had an injury in the Cowboys' last preseason game, so I don't know how that will impact that. All I'm saying is these are two players that last year Dan Quinn and Joe Witt must have liked. Like, it was only a year ago.
And, yeah, I'm with that.
And I think there's some interesting information out there if you look at specifically Dan Quinn and Eric Scott, kind of the bond, kind of how he spoke about him. But this is what's going to happen on cut day, man. There's going to be a lot of kind of moving parts. You know, there another thing we're going to see. Now, I'm curious what you think, B. I thought Cade York looked pretty damn good the other night, the kicker they just traded for. All you can do is make your kicks.
When you make your kicks, you get another look. And if you make enough of them, if you miss one, people remember that you were better. You were good more often than not. But you can't miss more than you make.
He was 2-2 on field goals, 2-2 on extra points.
Hey, that's 100%, right?
Right.
So he deserves another shot.
He made a 34-yarder and he made a 33-yarder. He's got plenty of leg.
We can't complain about him not making a 40 or 50 because he didn't have to try to make one.
At this point, would you bring I don't think you're signing another kicker to your 53. Mm-hmm. I think in 2 days after waivers clear, then you maybe see who's out there and you add a kicker to your practice squad, kind of keep the competition going.
Yeah, if there's somebody that has a history of being in this, because like sometimes the guys get a little older or they just, like when you go up to become a kicker in Baltimore, you basically know you're not making the team. You're not beating out Tucker. But you go up there and you try to get all the experience you can. So somebody else will say, well, that guy was over there with John Harbaugh and his crew. Well, we'll give him a shot. But you know you're not making it. But the ultimate thing in this situation is if they could pull somebody out with experience that happens to get released because somebody else there was better and had been there longer, then you give that a shot. But if not, you go along with the guy you got. He went out when he needed to do it, and he did it.
So I think the big headline move of this training camp preseason was last week's trade of Jahan Dotson.
Yeah.
Now, there could be another headline coming today, okay? Will any news from today, cut day, amount to a bigger news pop than the announcement of the stadium naming rights deal? I kind of say no.
Today, no. I would say no. I'm not expecting something to come out today that's going to be so big that we kind of just say, throw that on the side. Although, everything that happens on the football field should be bigger than what the stadium right is.
Like, to that point.
In my book.
Right. But, like, Standing is the first person I'm seeing reporting this. The Commanders are releasing Davion Davis. Northwest Federal Credit Union Stadium.
Okay.
Matters more in the big picture.
In the big picture, yeah.
All right, we're just getting warmed up. Barstool Nate joins us next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.